Welcome to part two of Integrity Matters by Turnitin. We continue our conversation looking at collaborative learning and the changing landscape of learning and teaching with Dr. Prim and Rajalingam. But we know that most times assessments are done in the paper-based format with invigilation and all of that. Have there been any challenges with the move to the hybrid or online mode of learning?
One of the big challenges we have is that I think faculty don't trust the students, right? And they don't trust the students to be honest, right? And I think that comes about because of a certain approach which many of us have been taking towards assessment. Our assessment has been very much low-level recall type assessments, right, which were done in a very controlled environment. And if I were to be critical about them, I would say they were very inauthentic assessments which exist in a university and nowhere else, or in a school and nowhere else, right? And hence, if you were to continue this assessment in an online space, suddenly the assessment paradigm gets very challenged. And principally because, oh no, all they have to do to circumvent the assessment is look it up, right? And I think those kinds of assessments definitely have been a challenge. And a lot of our conversations are, it's almost an escalation of arms, right? What can we do to make sure that the students don't look it up? Can we lock down their browser? Can we do this? Can we monitor them? And I personally think there's a limit to how much you can do there, right? And I think that it needs us to, or it has forced us to reflect on which are the assessments which didn't have these problems, because, you know, university has lots of different kinds of assessments. The assessments which didn't have these problems were assessments which, from the start, were authentic, were higher order, right? You may still say, you know, I could hire a ghostwriter to write my essay, but you could have done that anyway, right? You know, if the bar to cheat was that high, right? Then, you know, so it works online. So I think what we've, this has really kind of shed the light on is that assessments, especially at university level, right, need to be authentic. The moment they're authentic, right, a lot of the concerns about, is assessment reliable? Is it valid? Are students cheating? Etc. That kind of disappears comparing to online face-to-face assessment. And I think we need to be honest with ourselves there as well. I'm not saying there's not a place for this kind of knowledge-based assessment. There is, right? But if that's your only assessment or your only data point in your course, then I think that there's perhaps something misaligned between what your course is intended to achieve and what you're actually measuring.
I'm just curious to know, has there been a move to more formative assessments as opposed to summative assessments?
There has. I mean, definitely. And some of this during the COVID period was done, top down by the university. The university had said, in a very short time to move many of the assessments, especially the final year, final assessments, which were a big component of the GPA, into more authentic assessments. So, for the short term, what we had was a lot of the, a push to have more kind of more continuous assessments first, right? Continuous assessments which are summative, and later on, because of this, more, you know, students wanted more feedback as well, and then we said, okay, together with this, you need to give more formative assessments too. So two things happen. Yeah, there's definitely been more continuous assessments, summative continuous assessments, in terms of end of semester or end of term assessments, and together with that, the expectation is students want feedback, right?
Yeah,
they want feedback on how they're doing. They want to prepare for this assessment. So that's driven a lot more formative assessment. Of course, going back to something I spoke about a little bit earlier, if you were to adopt a collaborative learning paradigm like team-based learning, the formative assessments are built into the teaching method. You know, just by doing the quiz individually, you get feedback. Doing it as a team, you know, it may not count towards the grade, but, you know, at least you know week to week, right? How you're doing, you know, you get that source of feedback, and you get that opportunity to clarify doubts, right? Immediately in the teaching.
Okay. You sort of alluded to my next question, but I'm going to hope that you expand on this more. what are some best practices or some lessons you've learned in terms of designing and administering these formative assessments?
Okay, so there's a Goldilocks zone, if you don't mind me saying, of formative assessment. I talked about team-based learning earlier, right? And I talked about the various components of assessment. We did a study a couple of years ago, because in the first few years when we started the medical school, all these assessments were great or counted towards the GPA, right? Mm. And then after a while, we stopped counting them towards the GPA because, and the reason we stopped, right, was because we felt that it was creating negative behavior. It incentivized negative behavior. It stopped being about the learning and sometimes pushed students to be about the grade, right? But then a few years later, we went back and we had two groups, one group which went and did the assessment and one group which was completely purely formative. And we said, what was the difference? Did one group perform better? Did one group study more, right? The interesting thing is the group which was assessed did slightly better and studied slightly more, right? But on reflection, not enough to warrant the stress, perhaps, right, of the overall environment. And then there's other evidence from elsewhere as well. You know, if you make it, our grade was only 15%. If you push that up to, let's say, 60 or 70%, then you get all kinds of other antisocial behavior, if you will, in the students. And again, you know, it perhaps leads to worse outcomes. So back to the idea of assessment, both individual and group assessment, right? Both components need to be assessed. That's what I'm convinced by. That assessment definitely needs to have feedback. It needs to be formative, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you want it to grade or not, the summative component, that's a tricky question. I would say grade it just enough to count, right? Grade it so it is something cheap is better than something free. That's the way I look at it. If you give away completely free, sometimes it you may not get the outcomes that you want. But you know, if you charge too much for it, then it changes the behavior wrongly. Again, very contextual. You need to know your students, right? You need to know what motivates them, right? I think that in the medical school, we felt that we inherited a group of self-selected students who were very motivated, and they were motivated by the end goal, to become successful doctors, right? So we could definitely not emphasize the summative component of the assessments as much, though it did make a small difference. So I guess that's what I'll say about that.
Give them something to work towards or give them something to be motivated. Let them earn that mark as opposed to just giving it to them free.
Yeah, but then, if you make it too much, then you throw out a lot of the other things as well, the other thing that's really important, at least what I've learned as well, is if you grade the individual component, grade the team component, right? Hmm. If you don't grade both, then don't grade both.
When it comes to group grading, group assessments, there's a lot of controversy in terms of who did what and all of that. And it's now created this broader working group on looking at rubrics that assess group work, but rubric that still assess individual participation. So, they're still finding the balance. And I don't think anyone has gotten it right yet. But curious to see how we navigate the space, especially in the online space. My next question is regards to the idea that there might be a lot of security challenges with assessments now being done remotely. Do you have, or can you share some best practices to ensure the security and the integrity of assessments, especially the ones that are not done in person?
Yeah. Again, if it is a kind of a traditional assessment, and there's a worry that an individual will cheat on it, I think if an individual is really motivated to cheat, right? Whether it's face to face or online, there's only so much you can do. But especially what we find, I think, with online assessments, having higher order, even if it's a knowledge basis, higher order questions, and having them timed, right, makes a difference. Mm-hmm. If the topic that you're teaching for allows that, right? And if you can, just make it open book, right? Make it open book. I mean, because even if it's time to be honest, the truth is, I mean, what separates an expert and a novice when they look up something open book, right? An expert's a lot faster when he looks up something open book than a novice, right? And that's all we
find it.
They know where to find it, right? And so make it open book and make it timed if you have an assessment which has a very heavy knowledge component. And you know, take that into account in the performance. Of course, you know, you may worry that the student's not the person who's actually sitting for the assessment, and then you may need to have some kind of authentication there, right? Especially in large classes. But that's cheating, and that's an academic integrity case, right? As well.
Excellent. I think what I might take away from there is it's the use of more higher order questions that are timed. I think that's where a lot of people are doing more work in. So thanks for sharing that. Now we've been talking about formative assessment, and that angle requires some level of feedback. How is technology supporting the need for just-in-time feedback as a way of enhancing learners' experience?
Okay, so I guess one form of just-in-time feedback is going back to the team-based learning, individual and team quizzes, which, you know, it gives you immediately in the team at least what are issues which you're struggling with, and then just in time you get that you know, once you've identified the knowledge gap, you have an opportunity to kind of fill it right before you go on to actually apply it later. So that's a kind of standard way it's been done. I think that you know, with the technologies on the horizon, right, with these adaptive type of learning solutions, right, which can be done almost asynchronously, which I haven't seen actually any good application yet. I mean, I think the potential is there, right? That you know, using adaptive learning powered by AI, perhaps, right? We throw AI at everything nowadays, right? There's the real potential, right, to have this adaptive learning which is customized to the individual, right? Right now, like the adaptive learning that we have is that the instructor decides these are the things that you have to learn. I may build in certain feedback mechanisms to let an individual know, or, you know, this is where you need to ask a question, this is what you really know and don't know, this is where you need to study a little bit more, right? And that's where the just-in-time aspect comes in, right? But I think there's potential to make it more individualized with the technology.
Excellent. I will be taking that under advisement, because that's an area we could looking to.
But you know, we've talked about it a lot, and I'm sure you have as well, but have you seen a good example of that individualized just in time? And so I think it will happen, but I think that we need to acknowledge that we haven't really seen a great example of it yet.
I think the closest we get to just in time is providing feedback after the assessment, just after the assessment. But just in time in this context is looking at, while you're being assessed, there are areas you might need to study more just so you can learn more, and that's the just in time. It doesn't have to be at the end of the assessment; it can be during the assessment and all of that stuff. Yeah. So I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's coming. The world's moving really fast. Finally, have you got any other thoughts based on the topic at hand, collaborative learning and the changing landscape of learning and teaching? Have you got any other thoughts or ideas you want to share with the academic community?
I mean, I myself am an educator. My research area is pedagogy, but I do think that especially at this time, it's good to fall back on a few. There are lots of frameworks in education, but it may be useful for even non-pedagogy people, right? To think about some useful frameworks which guide their course design and teaching and learning. One of the frameworks which has been it's not a new framework, which is becoming really popular over the last couple of years, a bit of a resurgence, is the Committee of Inquiry framework, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really accessible framework which works in today's environment. So I would advise, you know, faculty members who are struggling with this, of course, you may have intuitive ideas, but looking at a framework like that, it really kind of helps.
Hmm.
And that's not the only framework out there, but I think that's one which I personally kind of use in a lot of my own faculty development. And I find that it's a useful one.
Perfect. Thank you. That's a really good way to end it, by giving the academic community some advice in terms of choosing a framework as they're thinking of rethinking, reimagining their course experience or student learners' experience in the online space. I'd like to say a big thank you to Dr. Preman Rajalingam, who is the Director, Center for Teaching, Learning and Pedagogy, Nanyang Technological University, Singapore, for being with us today. Thank you so much for your insights and just sharing your experience with us today.
Thank you very much, Chuka. I really enjoyed myself.